going to be talking about the Mediterranean fruit fly. I apologize to some of the people who may have heard some of this data before in Fresno. Nothing really has happened since May, so bear with me. So I have I go through this faster, which is good. Okay, the Mediterranean fruit fly is a nasty pest. Females lay their eggs in several hundred species of fruits and vegetables, and it's a global concern occurring in the Mediterranean region, Asia, South America, and Australia, among other places. In addition to bait spray and chemical control, one primary way of trying to control this creature is the sterile insect technique, here demonstrated by these little pictures here. It involves rearing flies in a factory, sterilizing the flies to make them reproductively inviable, and the sterilization is done on pupae. Pupae are then shipped by plane or bus or whatever to what's called an eclosion facility, where the pupae are then held in containers. The adults emerge, and then they're released after a few days of holding, and then hopefully you get the mating in the bottom right-hand thing. So it's quite a complicated procedure with many steps and lots of room, I guess, for improvement. In one important way, the Mediterranean fruit fly is a bad candidate for SIT. And that simple fact is that we're dealing with choosy females. We have a mating system here that's centered on lek behavior, that is aggregations of males. Males are relatively stationary. They send a long-range pheromone. Females arrive. Males do a wing dance, which I'm not going to do today. And they do head movements, which you're laughing, but I have done that. And the males do a dance. Females select. Rejection rates are high. Tim Whittier, 10, 15 years ago in the field, saw rejection rates of over 80% of started courtships. So females are quite choosy. And as you might imagine, flies males produce in factories may not meet the muster of in quote, mimicking wild males. And sure enough, if you do mating trials where you have equal numbers of wild males and wild males and sterile males competing for wild females, you do not get 50% success by the wild and sterile males. Usually the sterile males get about a fifth to a third of the matings. So we've been working in Hawaii for ways to try to improve these males and have stumbled on something we call aromatherapy. And what this involves is exposing males to the odor of different botanical oils. We've used orange oil, grapefruit oil, manuka oil, and our favorite, of course, is ginger root oil. And what this involves, without going into too many details, is basically males that are exposed to the odor of this, and it's important to know that they don't have to feed on the oil or even contact the oil. Exposure to the aroma in some way makes them sexier and more preferred by females. Okay? They don't have to feed on it. It doesn't work on pupae. It only works on exposing the adults. And we started with small containers with small numbers of males and have moved up to larger containers with larger numbers of males. And this is just up the road in beautiful Los Alamitos, where the California PRP, MedFly PRP program is. Here we have a trailer that holds 13 million males. Here I am working hard at Los Alamitos. Actually, I just come from Disneyland, which is just down the road. But if you put some oil on cotton wicks, 36 mLs of this, and let it sit in there and waft over the room for a day, and then take males randomly from these gray boxes, those gray boxes each hold 40,000 males, and then use them in mating tests, you can bump their mating frequency from 35 to 55%. That's pretty good, at a cost of 20 cents per million males. And then if you're really lucky, you get to go to an even nicer place in Guatemala, Retaholeo, which is the mecca of medfly SIT. Here's a room that holds 120 million medfly males. If you open if you put wicks with the oil, 250 mLs, a quarter of a liter for a day, and then do mating tests against wild males, the mating frequency increases from 24 to 38%. So we have something going on here. The question is, we've demonstrated this phenomenon several times. How does it work? And I'm finally getting to the data here. And I'm going to describe two experiments. One is called female attraction to dead males, and the other is mating trials following surgical removal of male or female antennae. So the first one, female attraction to dead males. I'm going to try to pick this up here so I get through this. Oh, yeah, we use dead males, close range attraction of females using dead males, so we don't have any behavior on part of the males. There's no pheromone production. We just have dead males that are chilled. And here's the experiment. You know, when you work in a funny room out in Waimanalo, you can really search the internet all day, and it's amazing what you can find. It's perfect, isn't it? So this test involved just small screen cages, released 30 females, virgins, two small petri dishes with dead males in, 10 dead males, 10 of which were gingerroot exposed the day before, 10 never received the oil, and then just score females, see where they're sitting. How many are sitting on the dish with the exposed and non-exposed? Do a number of replicates change the dish positions? And here's what you find. Females generally sit, we also covered the dishes in one set of trials with a cloth, and the other we left open so they could actually see the males. So the bars on the left are the uncovered dishes. The black bar are the females on the exposed. Females tend to sit more on the dishes with the dead males that had been exposed to gingerroot oil, both when the flies are uncovered and covered. Okay. We also did a similar experiment in which we didn't use males as our stimulus. We used a paper disc with hexane wash that had been absorbed into it. So we basically just washed in hexane males that hadn't been exposed to the oil, males that hadn't been, and then exposed the discs, the paper discs, and females preferred to sit near the discs with the wash, the disc with the wash from the oil-exposed males. Okay, there are no males in that experiment. So that's the female attraction to dead males. The second experiment here is what happens if you start snipping antennae, which are the primary olfactory structure on these creatures, for females. Do antennaless females still display a preference for GRO-exposed males? Now we're using live animals. And for males, do antennaless males exposed to GRO, gingerroot oil, still gain a mating advantage? So we're going to do two types of manipulation. The first is manipulation on the females. And these were done, how am I doing for time? Okay?
Three and a half.
Oh, good. Okay. The first test involves altering the females with intact males. These were tests. We often work in field cages, but these mating trials were done in small cages in the laboratory. 25 females, 25 gingerroot oil exposed males the day before, 25 males never exposed. These are all wild-like animals. And then females, we had three different treatments, intact females, females with missing one antennae, and females missing two. And they're the results. And they're pretty interesting. The intact and females missing one antennae show pretty similar mating. 60% of the matings were with oil-exposed males. Females missing two antennae, which is the most interesting, don't mate very much. You take two antennae away and they don't mate much. So we had to do the number in parentheses there, 25. We had to do 25 cages to just get 19 matings. Whereas the others above, we did 8 cages and got 170 or 161 matings. So we had to do many, many cages just to get enough matings to say anything. But what the result is perhaps in that sense not very satisfying, but what comes out of that is that the preference seems to disappear when you take away the antennae. But that, again, is swamped in a sense by they're not really wanting to mate in the first place. But this is what we get out of that. Okay, there's a picture of the females missing zero antennae or one or two antennae. Okay, with the males, what happens when you do the males? This is snipping the antennae off the males before they're exposed to the oil. Okay, so we do the same kinds of things. We have altered males, intact females, 25 females, 25 males that had been exposed to the oil, 25 not, one or two antennae removed, voila. There's no difference between the males missing one or two antennae. Okay, they still enjoy a mating advantage, even without any antennae. Conclusion question. Does double antennal removal from females affect female mate choice? Yes. Females no longer prefer GRO-exposed males, the oil-exposed males. Question. Does double antennae removal from males affect their mating success? No. Males missing both antennae still had a mating advantage. Conclusion, males do not, quote, need to perceive the oil in order to gain a mating advantage, but females, quote, unquote, need to perceive male odor to select oil-exposed males. Muchas gracias to these people for helping. Thank you.
I don't know. I do know that if you expose females
First of all, females are not attracted from a long distance to the oil, but if you basically put it in a cage with them, and this has been documented a couple of times, they begin behaving like males. They actually do wing behavior, wing movements like males, mm-hmm. and they turn their rear end up in a pseudo pheromone release position. So you make them butch.
Is there any sort of time frame on the GRO effectiveness? You know, the longer it's been on the male, does it continue to be effective after a period of time?
Well, we know from the two real quick things. Yeah, at the Los Alamitos with the large trailers, we did test when we held the males 4 days after the exposure, and they still showed an advantage. In smaller containers, it lasts at least a week. And in small containers, you can expose them for 3 to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be an hour a day in small groups.
One more question. So your control was wild milk. Did you look at the response to males that were sterile but not exposed to GRO at all?
I don't think I understand the question.
So your control was wild milk, not the sterile male that hasn't been exposed to GRO, right?
Well, we've done...
I
don't quite understand, but I can talk to you about it. We've done many tests, and others have looking at the sterile males without any treatment at all, if that's what you're getting at.
Control.